Open up your Bible to the book of James, chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 19 and 20. And also, if you can, open your Bible, have another finger in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, we're going to look at those two chapters. Today's message is God's prescription for anger. We lock the doors so you can't leave, okay? I'm kidding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. Thank you for our time of worship, Lord. God, you did come to our rescue. You saved us, Lord. And Lord, I pray today that you open our ears to hear. Lord, each of us wants to hear from you today, Lord, from your word, Father. Instruct us and teach us in the way we should go, Lord. And Father, don't make us like the mule, Lord. But Lord, we want to come willingly. And so change us, Lord. Renew us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A cute little story this morning. When my grandchildren are visiting, which is always such a great joy. Charlie is 4 and Hudson is 2. And so, of course, you know, it's a real challenge in the morning when they're in the house because we've got breakfast going and Grandpa's trying to get his message finished. And little Charlie comes up with the big Bible book and says, "Grandpa, would you read a Bible story to me?" And I'm thinking, I'm not going to miss this. So we've been going through the Gospel of Mark together. We have a big picture book that I bought from a library sale, illustrated, just magnificent. And almost every day we go through that book, at least when we're together, and he's loving it. So that's where I was this morning. So I don't know if I scare him if I'm a little late, but I had to take the time to read to my grandson. James chapter 1, James the Proverbs of the New Testament, in verse 19 he says this, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Let me read it to you from the New International Version. It says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Now, James, in the context of this letter, is speaking about trials and temptations. And here, he plainly states that our anger cannot produce the right life God desires. An old Hebrew saying goes like this, "Anger renders a man insane and the prophet dumb." Proverbs 15:18 says this, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention." A person quick to anger that's acted upon, a lifestyle of anger as the centerpiece. Think about it. There's consequences for that kind of life. There's consequences in our relationships. There's consequences at the job. There's consequences in your marriage and your family. You know, this. I feel a little like talking about this subject, I feel like it's conflict management and communication 101. Things that we really need to hear. So I ask you this question. Has there ever been a time when you've been angry? Well, the answer is yes, of course. Of course I have. And some of you may even come to church this morning angry over an incident or a situation. Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, if you're there, your other finger's there, Ephesians 4, 26 says this, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Anger is a real emotion that we all experience. And the scripture here makes it clear that we will at one time or another get angry. But it also states, "And do not sin." Anger can be appropriate and be expressed appropriately, but it can also be sin and destructive. It can be destructive to ourselves. It can be destructive to our relationship with others. And as James tells us, it even can be destructive in our relationship to the Lord. Well, today, by the time you leave the service, I pray that all of us, me included, would have a better handle on this emotion, and God would show us how to be angry and not to sin. This morning, we'll be looking at, first thing, the problem and the symptom of anger, the prescription or the solution for anger, and the power to change, and I would like to share a personal story about anger. Anger can become sinful when it is directed. I like to put it this way. There's three ways. It can be directed inward, that's repressed. It can be directed outward, that's expressed inappropriately. And it can be directed downward, excessive, acted out in violence or abuse. Or anger cannot be sinful when it is rightward. I don't know if that's a word, but I thought it went with the message. It's rightward. It's acted on appropriately, a righteous and a justified anger. Well, there is a righteous anger. And yes, it's possible for us to have it, a justified reason for being angry and to express our anger properly. And that is to be angry with the things and situations that make God angry. This is anger directed towards those things that are wrong and hurtful. Jesus gave us great examples of righteous, justified anger. Do you remember when he was at the tomb of Lazarus? He was so angry. He was snorting angry. That's what the scripture says. And how about at the temple when the sellers of the merchandise were ripping the people off? Oh, he got pretty angry there. He did a thing or two about it. And then when Jesus got angry at the synagogue in Mark chapter 3, if you remember the story, he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there with a withered hand, a man who had no use of his hand. And so he watched him closely. They were watching him. They were watching Jesus, all the synagogue rulers, the religious people, to see whether Jesus would heal this man on the Sabbath. They wanted to accuse him. So he said to the man, Jesus said to him, step forward. And then he said to all the religious people, he says, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he was stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. You see, there are reasons to get angry. Some things just have to make you angry. How about child slavery? That makes me angry. How about children who are neglected and abused? And how can you not burn with anger and passion toward these cruelties and wrongs? Yet, the Bible tells us, be angry and do not sin. You're going to get this down. It's like youth group. You're going to repeat after me, right? And do not sin, right? We have to make a decision, don't we? As we'll see, not to sin in our anger, in how we handle that quick burn of passion. You know, as I was preparing to come here, I was talking to one of my best friends on the phone, and we were praying together, and I guess there's a new TV show out called Revenge. It's about revenge and anger and all these different, it sounds like Satan television or something, you know? Revenge and anger. Well, but let's face the truth about our anger. And my anecdotal survey of all the counseling I've done in 12 years and my own experience of my own anger has shown me that 99% of my anger and your anger is not of this righteous variety. And it has nothing to do with righteous anger. And that's where the sin comes in. We are angry, as the Bible says, without a cause, at our brothers, our husbands, our wives, and we act out on this anger. Matthew 5:21 says this, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, Jesus said, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Right now, I can hear you say, oh, Pastor Peter, I have a cause. Let me tell you, I have a cause. Well, you may even say this, or have you ever said these things or thought these things? When you're getting angry, You can't treat me this way. You don't know what they've done to me. One of my favorites. I'm never respected. I'm mad and I'll show them. I'm unloved and it hurts and I'm mad. No one ever listens to me. I will get their attention. I deserve to be angry. If they would only do it the right way, I wouldn't be angry. How else can I get things to change unless I get angry? I'm not mad. What makes you think I'm mad? They made me do it. I do not need to change. They do. I'll show them. Who do they think they're messing with? And you get the idea of all the nonverbal communication that goes with anger. Well, a lot of modeling of anger actually begins at home. It's one of the root causes of anger. As I've been looking at the scriptures, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that when he is old, it literally means when he gets hair on the chin. So we don't have a lot of time to train him, do we? Ephesians 6:4 tells us fathers, and I think it goes for mothers also, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Many times we use anger as a control technique to control others. Maybe it's something that you were brought up with. Maybe it's something that was modeled in your life. Proverbs 22:24-25 says this, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Well, some of the research that's been done on anger, and we live in a very angry generation. Research has found that family background plays a role. Typically, people who are easily angered come from families that are disruptive, chaotic, and not skilled at emotional communication. But the Bible tells us to be angry and do not sin, nor give place to the devil. Now, this is important because the devil can get a beachhead. And literally what it's saying here, a place for the devil, it's a foothold. It's like he grabbed you and he's got you. He's got hold of you. And the devil can get a beachhead in our lives through anger. Anger and fighting and wars and conflict sounds heavenly, doesn't it? Not at all. The enemy is the liar and the divider. And when we are stuck in our anger and bitterness, we have bought his lies, haven't we? About ourselves and others and even God. James 3:13 says this in the context of trials, in the context of wisdom, in this whole book. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Boy, what a contradiction from the demonic wisdom to godly wisdom, to demonic actions and anger acted out in selfishness, and then God's way of dealing with things. Well, we see the problem of anger acted out, don't we? And we do get angry, and if we're all really honest here today, we all sin, okay? And that anger comes out in hot passion, right? And then moves into sin, and as I stated earlier, it's directed inward, outward, and downward. Okay? Inward-directed anger. The first thing, all the feelings of anger are there, right? but never expressed or dealt with appropriately or biblically. This is the person who shuts down, who basically, body language says a lot, slumped, can't look you in the eye, no longer communicating, but at times passively sabotaging everything. Their conflict management style starts out as avoidance, and eventually they turn into what we call in counseling teapots. You know, you get the water boiling and boop, they blow, okay? And when they blow, they blow. The one thing about anger directed inward, a lot of studies have been done on illness and anger. Proverbs 14:30 says this in the New American Standard Version, "A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones." Unresolved anger can turn into high blood pressure, headaches, dizziness, self-depreciation, isolation, inactivity that goes into hyperactivity. I've seen both. Suicidal thoughts, and the why bother, I'm a failure, hyper-focus on self. Why? Well, because of unresolved anger and sin results. Again, many of these folks can come from families where maybe they weren't allowed to share their feelings or express themselves, and they hear things like, "Why don't you just shut up?" And, "We don't care how you feel. Stop bothering me." And the concept of God's grace and love and mercy are never modeled for this child. Modeling for the child, it's as if their feelings in that family don't count. And then anger and resentment is turned inward and leads to self-destructive behavior. And let me tell you, when these people decide to turn that anger outward, from inward to outward, you better look out. And often they can't even tell you why they're mad, and they'll even deny it, while their body language and their actions say something completely different. Second is outward anger. Then there's this outward anger that's expressed in sinful behavior towards others. And the body language. The one thing about angry people, have you noticed that the outward angry people, they're like space invaders. They like get in your personal space. Has anybody had that experience too? They just get right in your personal space and you find yourself backing up the whole time. Ephesians 4:30, if you're there, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." The New Living puts it this way. It says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior." Now, we know the scripture says that, and the word for wrath is a Greek word that indicates an agitated condition of the feelings, an outburst of wrath from inward indignation, while the word anger suggests a more settled or abiding condition of mind, frequently with the idea or a view towards revenge. Okay? So you get the picture. Anger. We've all experienced it. Quick flash. It can turn into a vengeful blaze that is then directed towards others by clamor. That's shouting, harsh language. And then evil speaking. How about slanderous accusations? And then malice, evil behavior. And all this because of unresolved anger and a root of bitterness that has taken hold. And as Galatians 5 says, the works of the flesh, they're evident, aren't they? And one of those is anger and the other is wrath. Well, people that get angry like this all the time, in counseling, we call them thrivers. Okay, they thrive on conflict and anger. They're the ones who often are quick-tempered. They explode and fly off at the handle at the least bit of provocation. Proverbs 29:22 says this, "An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression." You try to correct them, they are going to explode, and the sin is only going to increase. Do you ever try to correct someone that's an angry person and they're in sin? Boy, you are in for a time, okay? It's a difficult thing. I thought about sharing with you, this would be a whole other sermon on how do you handle people who are angry, but that's for another day. Okay. Oftentimes, they're vengeful toward others, and they're exacting revenge from anger that builds like a forest fire until the whole house burns down. Their anger is disproportionate always to the perceived offense. Often deep down is that root of bitterness that the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, and it's acted out as they become vending machines of condemnation and blame. Their bitterness blinds them to the truth. And most of the time, they don't even have a clue. And they are angry, and they're in sin. And they are in sin, and if you try to correct them again, that revenge thing. And you know what? How can this happen? Well, let's get a picture. It tells us in the scripture, in that Ephesians 4 passage, take a look there. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, okay? Nor give place to the devil. How can it happen? Yeah, let's just take a typical marriage. I think I have experience with this. Okay, you go to bed angry and upset after a dispute. You don't resolve it. And you give the devil a place. And all you hear all night in your head is, look what they said. Look what she did. Look what that. And it begins to build. You don't get a very good sleep, but you wake up to resentment. And you begin the week with bitterness, and that can lead to years of bitter fruit of your speech and your actions and the thoughts of, I'll show you revenge. Complete opposite of Romans 12. And that is sometimes how we end up treating the people we love the most. Well, it's a learned behavior. As we sow to our sinful nature, you reap corruption, the Bible says in Galatians 5. And again, these folks are so used to using anger as a way to control others in situation. But be honest, they're the kind of people we avoid, don't we? We avoid them at work. How many of you guys are doing that right now? Don't raise your hand. And or at home, definitely don't raise your hand. Because we don't want to deal with them, do we? And let me tell you what, I've done their funerals, and it ain't pretty. Okay? Lastly, downward anger. That's just abuse. Not just in word, but it also acted out physically even. Violent behavior. Many times people who are downward, physical, and beyond the normal, even outward anger that we see all the time, but abusive anger, they're control freaks. They've got to control everything in their life. There's a reason for that. It's because they have great fear. It's anger in the extreme. Proverbs 22:8 says, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. Well, back to James chapter 1, 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, or as the NIV says, the right life God desires. Well, the prescription for anger, all of this is like a roller coaster, isn't it, when you really think about it? Anger is a funny thing. You know, that hot anger. We can have an emotion of anger. And I like the roller coaster description because you get the idea. You start at the bottom, right? And then that you have that hot flash of anger and that gets the roller coaster going, right? And the Bible says, be angry and do not sin. But what do? We dwell on it. We begin to entertain it. We begin to then even go to a point where eventually there's a tipping point where it will be expressed as you go down the other end of the roller coaster. God's prescription for anger is to first identify it. Admit it, confess it, and repent of it, and renew your mind. When you're feeling that anger building up, the resentment creeping up, the vengeful thoughts ascending, I've got three words for you. Stop, stop, stop. You got to get off the ride. Proverbs 15:18 says this, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Identify. Identify what is happening. Stop lying to yourself and others. And tell God. That's so important before your anger is acted out towards others, right? You're angry. Admit it. Identify it. Tell God immediately. That means to confess it to him. Don't call your best friend and go off. Don't take that step first. How many? We all do that, though, don't we? We forget. We can go to God and call on the Lord because he can help you. Now, I've got to say this. It might take you all day of calling upon the Lord to deal with your anger. And that's okay. But the Lord's answer for anger, Psalm 4, and it's a scripture I share a lot when I'm counseling people who are struggling with their anger. It says this, "But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him." But we have to call to him. He has set us apart. Even in all our sin, God has taken us and he declares that we are righteous and holy in Christ. And we have access to God and we have access to his throne. But the Bible then says in verse 4, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." And then it gives the instruction, Selah. Think about this. Meditate on it. Chew on this for a while. You know, we've lost the art of this, of meditating on the Word of God, of spending time with the Lord. The Lord's presence in our life is the most powerful prescription for anger that we can have. Many of you may have come in here with feelings of resentment or bitterness towards someone that you've held on to for a long time. And it's time to let those things go. But it's only going to happen as you begin to understand just how much God truly does love you, what he did for you at the cross of Christ, and that he does have a plan for your life, and that he does turn everything into good to those who trust him, and that nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing. But that's a decision you have to make as you meditate and are still in your bed. Yes, you're angry. Be angry. But do not sin. Meditate. And then it says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Our anger cannot produce the right life that God desires. But we can offer the sacrifices of righteousness. That's the sacrifice of right living. And put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in him. Proverbs 37:8 says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." Why not ask God to show you why you're angry, why you're bitter? Often, it has nothing to do with what even's happening at the moment. Ask yourself, why am I so easily offended and angered? And is my anger disproportionate to what is the perceived offense? You know, I'm going to share a personal story. I had to learn this personally in my Christian life. Because anger lived out in your life is so destructive, and it will stop you from hearing from the Lord and receiving everything the Lord has for you. We need to repent, don't we? We got to change our minds, that's what that means, and we got to ask the Holy Spirit for self-control. Proverbs 16:32 says this, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." The fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Better than a mighty man. More powerful than a locomotive. That's the Holy Spirit that's in you. Tell your anger to God. And you know what? How about this? Even tell your anger to stop it in the name of Jesus. And tell the enemy to leave in the name of Jesus. Now, I realize this. You can get control over your anger. We see it all the time. Husbands and wives and their children in the morning getting ready for church. We all know the scene. We've all been there, most of us, right? Okay, and you're like, "Come on, I don't want this. Why do I have to eat this? We're going to be late. Would you kids?" And then your teenager, "Are you out of bed yet? Do I have to go today? I can't take it anymore, you kids, will you? And then you get in the car, and then you're yelling, you forgot to put gas in the car again? We're going to be late. Everyone's going to see us walking in late. And then you walk in the door. Good morning, brother. How are you? I love you. Here's my children. Aren't they beautiful? That's what they're thinking. You know that, right? Okay? Make a decision to yield to the Holy Spirit and to act appropriately on the anger and stop making excuses. Make peace, not revenge. Romans 12 says this in verse 17. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, and if possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Reject revenge. Take out the bitter root. Now, this takes some real growing up. Okay? Adults here? All right? Takes some real growing up, and it's time to change. And then learn how to resolve your conflicts biblically and in love. You see, we have to replace the sinful anger. If you're following along, that's the last step. Replace the sinful anger and the actions with God's truth and act on it. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, but his glory is to overlook a transgression. Change. Replace the sinful behaviors associated with anger. Speak the truth in love. Now, I've been a Christian for almost 30 years, and I got to tell you something. This is a tough one. Speaking the truth in love. See, we got those in the church that like to speak the truth, and those are the thrivers, okay? The ones that like conflict. You know? Yeah. Pastor Pete, you do think it's appropriate for a pastor to wear a shirt outside like this? I think that's wrong. That makes me... And you know what? Now watch this. I like my shirt. I like it like this. And I walk away. That Pastor Pete makes me mad. He doesn't listen to me. He should do what I say. Right? In my years of youth ministry, if I had a nickel for every time I heard something like that, it's amazing. It's amazing. But look, speaking the truth in love. What's your motive? Why do you want to have this confrontation? Why do you want to have this anger? Why? I've got to ask that question in counseling a lot. I'm just practicing. Why? Ephesians, back to Ephesians 4. We're going to get this one tattooed. Here it is. Therefore, he talked about that too. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway. Therefore, put away lying. Put away lying. Let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. This is in the context of be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Who's the liar? Satan. Not you. You don't want to be the liar. And you know what? Speaking the truth in love, if you can't say it in love, just don't say it. You've heard it's an American proverb that I wish we would actually live by. Are we really saying it to help others? He goes on, he's talking about stealing no longer, working with our hands, give to those in need. And then in verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification. Is it going to build up those around me? Is my anger and how I'm going to act on it going to build up the person I'm angry with? Or am I going to tear them down? Am I going to rip into them? And am I going to destroy a relationship and just put another notch on my belt? See, I was right. Sure. You were right. He says, only good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearers. I'm not telling you not to be angry. The scripture is not telling you that either, is it? It's saying be angry and do not sin. And we have an epidemic of anger in the church. And we have an epidemic of anger in the culture. And as your grandpa Pooey up here, that's what Charlie calls me, okay? As your grandpa, I'm here to tell you, we got to stop. And we got to change. If this area changed, I can't even imagine what the world would do if they saw. If we could start a revolution right here with the people in this room. If we started acting on our anger appropriately. And if we started imparting grace to our hearers. You don't think when I see homosexuality, I see different sins, it makes me angry. But when I approach the homosexual, I don't approach them in anger. I take them by the hand. And I say, how are you? Oh, by the way, that's not sexual. And I say, can I tell you how much God loves you? And then they bring it up. No, God's mad at me. Why do you think that? Because I'm gay. Well, you just, thanks for telling me. Would you like to talk about it? This is a generation that wants you to get angry with them so they can be angry back at you. Have you noticed that? And we bite every time, don't we? Because of our insecurities. We think our anger is going to fix things. Listen, James says the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It doesn't produce the right life God desires. We're to be imparters of grace and mercy and love. And we need to go to the well of grace when we're angry and ask God to help us in our time of need. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So just a comment. You notice that anger that kind of builds towards revenge, right? Okay? Well, do you ever notice how that the story gets bigger and bigger as you keep telling it, you know? That because it's like, and you start to slander the other person. It started from Pastor Pete's shirt was out, and I told him not to wear it. To, did you see the way he walked away from me and the way he said he's just so mean? You know, I was like, whoa, bro, what's up? You know, I'm from the South Side. I got to, every now and then, we go from Oxford English to, yo, what's up? You know, we have to do both, so. But the whole point is this. God's forgiven us. We're to be kind, tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is the answer to anger. This forgiving others, it's for you. It's for you so that you don't have to get that bitterness and anger. God in Christ forgave us, and He will give you the ability to forgive. God is merciful, isn't He? Some of us have a crazy idea that God's always angry at us. Listen to what Psalm 103 says. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. When I don't want to forgive others, I remember what Christ did for me. And I say, thank you, Jesus, because I'm a big sinner. We need to put on Christ, the Bible says. Colossians 8, the parallel passage to this in Ephesians, says, but now you yourselves are, chapter 3, verse 8, says, now you yourselves are to put off these, the anger, the wrath, the malice, the blasphemy, the filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Speak the truth in love. We have to start doing that in love. But speak the truth. And if you're angry this afternoon and you blow it and you sin, stop saying, you made me do it. You made me angry. Oh boy, that's a big one, right? Yeah. Take responsibility and resolve to change. You made me do it? 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It is not, in the NIV says, easily angered. The original says provoked, is not provoked. Are you provoked easily? Well, God's love is the prescription. It doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, I said I was going to share a personal story, the power to change, because I had a radical change in my life, and Scott Richards played a major part in that change. He didn't even know. And that's how it works sometimes for us pastors. It's like we're prophetic or we have a word of knowledge, and we don't even know what we're saying, okay? And so, because God just wants to know, that's just how it is, right? He uses donkeys, he uses pastors. Okay, that's how I think about it, okay? So, both of us talk a lot, all right? All right. It's funny when you talk back to the donkey, though. That's when it's crazy, right? Yeah. But Scott played a major role because I didn't realize that I had a lot of unresolved anger in my life. And Scott just, he had told me in his life, shared a personal story about how the book Search for Significance had a huge impact on him. And in the Search for Significance, it talks about how we base our life on Christ esteem and not self-esteem. Because let's face it, we're always letting ourselves down, right? So if you have self-esteem, you're in for a big letdown, okay? But if you have Christ esteem, you know who you are in Jesus, God will never let you down, okay? And I'm here to tell you, even through the worst situation in your life, he still carries you, and he's awesome. Well, I was doing things in the church. I was, you know, look what I'm doing, and I'm working, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And I remember one time I was doing an outreach thing with a guy, and I was having problems with this guy. And I'm like, I don't know why this guy doesn't listen, and I don't understand why, you know, and I'm getting angry all the time, and I'm just angry all the time, right? Yeah. And this guy took me out to lunch, and he says, you're angry all the time. And I'm like, I think I am. Maybe that's not good. And I got a hold of the book Search for Significance, and it quoted the passage in James. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God or the right life God desires. I said, that's me. I'm angry. And I began to explore, you know, why am I angry all the time? Well, it was pretty easy, okay? I weigh what I weighed now in fifth grade. Wow. So let's shorten me about down to here. Okay, and my waist was about out to here. Okay, I had a lot of anger. And in an Italian family, food is love. So if you're angry and upset, and you're not, mangia, mangia, eat, eat. It's stereotypical, but it is true, just so you know, okay? But even when I started to get taller, and started losing, I was still angry. And the words that were in my head 24/7 was, why don't they or you respect me? My poor wife, God bless her. Somebody get her the CD. She'll like this. All right. My poor wife had to live with me the first 10 years of our marriage. The overachiever, starting a business, wanting to go into ministry. And you know, God put a stop to all that. The business sold, family members took all the money. The next thing that happens is, I'm not in ministry. I'm going back to work. And God got my attention, and he said, it's time to change, son. It's time to get rid of this anger, malice, bad behavior, evil speaking. It's time for you to change. It's time for you to learn to love others and treat them the way that I want you to treat them. Oh, the woodshed of God is painful, but it is a great place to learn. So you learn and you grow and you begin to learn to love others and you begin to learn to change. And you begin to see that when you're angry, you need to stop. You need to say, wait a second here. Pastor Pete talked about this. I don't think this is the 1% righteous anger right now. I think I need to bring it to God. I need to identify it. I need to tell him. I need to go spend some time with the Lord. And let me tell you, during those early times of growing in that, sometimes I would have to walk and talk to God for hours. And just and literally, I love to go up in the mountains and talk out loud. I think I don't know about ladies, but I think us guys, if we talk out loud, I think it's good. Okay, I think it's good that we hear what we're saying, because it's kind of like a way of just reaffirming what we're thinking. Okay, it's like now I just tell myself out loud, "Stop it! You're wrong. You're wrong 20 years ago. What makes you think you're right today?" And you know, my little self in there is like, okay. And you know what? I have so much peace in my life that I can even slow down. Even in my overachieving and wanting to come here and preach this message and getting it all, finished typing out and getting it, and my grandson comes up to me. "Papui, would you read the Bible book to me? I could not finish this now. I might be late. I've got a choice to make, don't I?" How many young people I've talked to, someone will turn, "Leave me alone, I'm busy right now. Can't you see Grandpa's doing something?" Because of my personal feelings of wanting to be successful, not fail, wanting to be approved, instead of thinking the way God thinks. You know, it's time to grow up, isn't it? It's time to change. I really believe that if we get a handle on this, our anger, and we begin to change, we're going to see a lot of young people come to Christ. We're going to see our family say, "What happened to you?" It'll be no longer just talking about Christ. It'll be living Christ, breathing Christ, extending that forgiveness to others. Anger is so destructive. Let's make something in our hearts right now to deal with that. And let's pray. Let's give that to the Lord. Hopefully you wrote down the steps. Go for it. The Lord is faithful. He won't let you down. It might be painful, but it'll be worth it. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. Thank you as we, Lord, get to share about God, just how you can change us, Lord, and you can deal with anger in our hearts. And I want to pray, if there's anyone here right now that maybe their anger has kept them from Christ, or their doubts, that in this moment right now they realize they need Jesus. They came here today and they're saying, "I'm that person and I need you to change my life." If you've never given your life to Christ and you realize that you need a Savior and you need his forgiveness and you need a Father that loves you, and you realize today that you're a sinner and that you need what Jesus did at the cross to forgive your sins so that your life can change today, so that you can repent of your sin and turn to God, would you just raise your hand really high and say, "I want Jesus to come into my heart today. I want to live for him. I want him to be Lord of my life." Just raise your hand really high. Anybody else today? We thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just tell him right now what's on your heart. And if you realize today that anger is a big issue for you, don't raise your hand. Just tell the Lord. And as we worship to this last song, just give it all to him. And make a commitment to change today. In Jesus' name, amen.